Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. I know I did. Phenomenal time with phenomenal people. Hope yours was phenomenal as well. The Packers not making a ton of headlines, though the Dontavian Wicks trade is official per the Transaction Wire, which came out just a little bit ago. So that is done and dusted. Dontavian Wicks to the Philadelphia Eagles, as we discussed late Friday afternoon here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. In the meantime, pre-draft visits continue. As you guys know, each team gets 30 of them. The Packers have had a number of guys in the door already. The last day to do so is this Wednesday, so you'll probably see reporting around a few more names here in the next couple days. But as of Wednesday, those have to be done and in the rearview mirror as teams prepare for the draft in 2 weeks, a week from Thursday. That's right. The Packers obviously won't be on the clock on Thursday night on the 23rd, but they will be on the 24th. And we will be here at Cheesehead TV live for both Thursday and Friday, though Friday our presence will be a bit more robust. Hope you'll join us here on the live stream. It's always a lot of fun. And of course, I hope you have already got, if you haven't, make sure you get your copy of the Cheesehead TV draft guide. There's a link in the description of this video for you to get right there, download it, get it in your clutches, and be the smartest person at your draft party with your Cheesehead TV Pro Football Draft Guide. 16th year in a row we've produced it. As I always say, it's the best piece of content we produce each and every year, mostly because I am not involved. That's right. Jersey Allen Company do a phenomenal job each and every offseason. This year, no exception. You have to get your hands on this. Tons of great draft content. Make sure you get your Cheesehead TV draft guide. As I discussed just a bit ago, the pre-draft visits winding down. One thing I did want to touch on today is the meaning or the reason, the workings around some of these pre-draft visits. Obviously, it has shifted in Green Bay from when Ted was in town, where a lot of these, if not most of the pre-draft visits, were about sorting through late draft picks and or undrafted free agents. Very, very rarely did Ted want to bring in early round premium pick type guys. And Brian has talked about this. He's admitted like there were precious few times where they brought in guys who they expected to draft, especially on, you know, early Thursday or Friday, almost always Saturday type guys, undrafted free agents, priority undrafted free agents, and things of that nature. Under Gutekunst, that has certainly changed. There is no doubt that over the course of the last five or six drafts, they have utilized their pre-draft visits mostly, not always, but mostly on guys they do very much either expect to draft or have the opportunity to draft, or players they really like. And that's the last part that I wanted to kind of touch on today, because oftentimes you'll see a visit or two, and this has happened, I think, a couple of times over the last couple of years where, okay, the Packers, as we know this season in particular, do not even have a first round pick, aren't picking until pick 52. And you'll see maybe a guy or two get brought in who, well, there's probably no chance that they have a shot at this guy. Today, or, you know, last night, this morning, notice this tweet from Jacob, who does great work for Packer Report over there, noting that LSU safety coming in for a visit. You see the Instagram there. And as he points out, 57th on the consensus board, Packers very deep at safety. That's one of the few positions on defense you probably feel pretty good about heading into this draft. So it feels a little curious, right? And the only thing I want to point out here is that oftentimes, as the Packers are whittling down their board, and they do, don't forget, the draft boards that a lot of these teams are utilizing are much, much smaller than the humongous kind of list of names that we as the public are looking at when we're looking at hundreds and hundreds of prospects. The Packers and lots of other teams will whittle that down, and they will have a much more kind of finite view of the draft and of the prospects that they are very much interested in. I suspect this is a guy they really like. He had been dealing with a shoulder injury through much of 2025, and I suspect this is just their chance to get a look at him and get their hands on him medically in their own facility and things of that nature. Plus, I bet they really like the prospect. Now, there's a chance they draft him, and I think that would be a pretty big surprise for most people on the outside looking in, but I don't put it past them to say, we really like this player, and if we think the value is there, we're going to pull the trigger, even though we are seemingly set at safety. We know the Packers very rarely worry about that kind of thing. They want to draft good football players. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up pulling the trigger if he were to fall, right, past that kind of 57 range where he ranks right now on the consensus board. But even if they don't, and there's probably a much better chance that they don't select him in this year's draft, they want information on players they like. The one that popped to mind this morning was Andre Dillard, but Andy Herman had a great kind of compilation of guys that they've put, you know, through the ringer, so to speak. They've brought in for these pre-draft visits who they eventually wind up signing down the road. And a lot of times teams do this, you know, just because you do work on a prospect in the pre-draft process doesn't mean you're done with them once they get drafted by someone else. Oftentimes they will reference a lot of that work if and when that guy becomes available as a free agent, which is what happened with Dillard, or possibly someone calls about a trade. Well, now you go into your file and you look. This is a player you liked for a lot of different reasons. Injury stuff you want to sort out. This is long-term investment planning. A lot of times these guys, they come into the building, you get a sense in a way that you probably didn't at the combine or at a pro day. It's all information gathering. It's just something to remember when you're looking at the list of guys that they bring in. It's not necessarily going to be, oh, yep, we're definitely planning on drafting him or we expect to be able to draft him. But if and when they become available later in their career, we've got all the information we could possibly get about this player that we really like. Just something to keep in mind when you're looking at the pre-draft visits. And yes, please note how I continually use the phrase pre-draft visit. Top 30 visit is like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I understand it's the regular parlance of the draft industrial complex. Nothing that I say is going to change that. But they aren't top 30 visits. They're not the top 30 players that they want to draft or the top 30 anything. They are allowed 30 visits prior to the draft. They are pre-draft visits. That is my old man yelling at a cloud issue for today. Thank you very much for listening to my rant. All right, folks, I want to get to your questions and comments, but before we do, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. At ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care, you have access to expert orthopedic care 7 days a week with no appointment needed. Whether it's a sprain, strain, fracture, or sports injury, their specialists assess and treat your pain quickly so you can return to what matters most. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's on your mind? How we doing? How we living? How we jiving? Joe starting us off with a super chat. How you doing, man? No Packers injury this year. Cool. Yes, that is the plan after they have reportedly, I believe Aaron Wilson put it out there, reportedly hired an assistant strength and conditioning coach from LSU, though he did delete his tweet. So we'll see. But yes, no more injuries. All done and dusted. Game over. Packers 100% on the field without injury for the remainder of the season because of this hire. Clearly, obviously. E4, how you doing, buddy? Draft choice, a 5-star talent who's an a-hole or a 3-star talent who's a decent person? I don't know that it's ever that delineated. I know that's the perception from some Packers fans over the years, especially when Ted was in charge. Again, I don't know that it's ever kind of spoken of even in those terms, but I do think the Packers try to put a premium on character. They probably take guys off their board for maybe not a guy being an a-hole. I think that's, you know, you're a football player. I hope there's a little asshole in you, but, you know, potential issues off the field, things of that nature, obviously criminal stuff, but I don't ever think it's a straight up personality, this guy's a jerk, so we can't draft him type thing, especially if he's able to do stuff on the field that you need to utilize. But with that said, like I said, I do think the Packers, maybe a bit more than most, do try to take a guy's character into consideration when maybe separating out certain prospects. I think it's much more subtle than just, oh, this guy's an asshole, we can't draft him. Shane, how you doing? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook, man. Any surprise positions you think they will draft besides the ones that have been beat to death? We're at that point, right? You know, anything I say is going to be stuff that's been covered by someone somewhere, but I do think from the conversations I've seen online, I think there will be Packers fans who are surprised if and when they take a running back, which I fully expect them to. And I do think there's a chance they could take a tight end earlier than people are expecting. That doesn't mean I think it's going to happen on day two, but I won't be surprised if it does. That said, pretty certain it will be one of the positions we have beaten to death, right? I think corner sits at a perfect spot, especially value-wise, with who's expected to be there or around there when they're on the clock at 52. And I think defensive tackle is another one that makes a world of sense there on day two. So it may be boring, but it's certainly seemingly what the Packers should be looking at. Now, I remember last year, heading into that draft, all the talk was, oh, they certainly have to address corner, and they most definitely will address defensive tackle, and they took an offensive lineman and two wide receivers with their first three picks. You know, you just never know what might happen there at 1265. Dennis, yes. Some say that Ray Nitschke was an asshole, but it worked for him. Certainly worked for him on the field, I'll tell you that. Oh, Guitar Ted. That's a good shout-out. Newt Weston's mock draft was good this week. Check it out if you haven't. Of course, that would intimate that they have been bad other weeks. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Definitely check it out. Mock Draft Monday is always a must-view exercise here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Newt does great work each and every week for us. The mock draft today was interesting. The trades were interesting. Interdivisional trade this week. Make sure you check that out. Like I said, it's here on the channel. Went up this morning. McKnight, yes, Messiah Swinson is a Packer tight end. That is true. That is very, very true. Brandy. You're not alone here. The extended conversation about a drafted lineman being a tackle or guard kills some time. That is true. In each and every selection seems to have that same conversation attached to it, right? Whether it's a guy who's as monstrous as Anthony Belton or as short in stature, maybe as a Scott Wells, you know, they get picked by the Packers. You know, we're going to spend probably a good 10, 20 minutes on draft night talking about where he should play. Where do they see him? And usually what's nice now, though, is I think it's usually Spoon, Tom Silverstein, at some point shortly after a guy gets drafted, will give a little nugget there on Twitter about, oh, they expect him to play here or there, or they see him as a tackle, or they see him as a guard. He's clearly got some kind of in there, some source there in the building, probably on the coaching staff, who is giving them a little bit of, you know, giving him a little bit of kind of inside info, as it were. So he's somebody to watch if and when they do draft an offensive lineman. Tom's usually ahead of the game when it comes to where they're looking to play a guy. What else we got here, folks? Dennis is here saying hello to everybody. I absolutely love it. J-Rock, how are you, man? With LaFleur's rotation at receiver, how confident are you that Wicks was not able to reach his potential and the trade was a mistake? Trying to figure out your logic here. Wicks was not able to reach his potential and the trade was a mistake. So what you're saying is because of the rotation that stunted Wicks's development and growth and he didn't reach his potential, so trading him away was a mistake because he eventually would have hit it, even though they probably don't plan on stopping the rotation anytime soon. That's what I mean. Like, it doesn't, the last part doesn't fit. Now, that said, I hear what you're talking about as far as, like, you know, he was never maybe possibly given a full run at being a major contributor. However, I will also point out, and by the way, the Packers just announced the Dontayvion Wicks trade. I would also point out there were plenty of opportunities for him to come to the fore throughout, especially those first two seasons. And, you know, drops were a real issue. And there were other times where, you know, he had opportunities to kind of make his claim. You know, this is what LaFleur was talking about at the owners' meetings. Like, if you don't like your role, you don't like what you're being, do something about it. And yeah, I love that everyone's kind of lasting image of Wicks is that Detroit game. Obvious, big, humongous catches, big fourth down conversions, big touchdown. I get it. That's tantalizing, right? But he was given lots of opportunities over the last 3 years where that wasn't what was occurring. So I hear you that maybe he's trending that way and he goes to Philadelphia, gets a lot more opportunities, and absolutely lights up the league. Is that possible? Certainly. Would I call it a mistake right now, given the information they have? Not really. You know, they got what they invested in the fifth round, and they got an additional pick in the sixth next season. And by the way, according to the wire, it's conditional, so be interesting to see what those conditions are. Yeah, man, it's hard for me to get on the that was a mistake tip. That's just me. Joe, how are you, buddy? Does perceived depth at a certain position in the draft affect how Goot approaches things as the draft develops? Doesn't seem to, because the real word there that's doing all the work is perceived. You know, they have tons and tons of information that we are not privy to when it comes to all the guys inside the building, right? So we may think something's deep, or we may think, oh, they don't have anything there, and they may have a very different view. Now, that doesn't automatically mean they're right, but certainly they have a lot more information to go off of. So I don't believe it does. You know, I think I buy Brian when he talks about how the draft is a long-term investment, right? And that is certainly something that we heard from Ted a lot. And you don't want to get too in the weeds when it comes to need, but you do have to continue to improve and you do need to add competition. And that's where I do think maybe depth perceptions or whatnot, maybe drive a little bit of the conversation as far as, okay, we need to inject a little talent into that room or on that part of the depth chart, because it's clearly not up to snuff. And that's where I think cornerback is sitting, right? I know Brian talked about not needing a major overhaul, which, okay, fine. Your opinion may vary, but he also admitted the room needs competition, which is why I do think beyond just the addition of St. Juste, you'll probably see at least one corner selected in this draft. Jason, thanks for the super chat. In my opinion, our offense runs through Jacobs, but Kraft is our identity. Am I off base with that? That's interesting. I think Kraft was kind of trending towards being the identity of the offense last year prior to his injury. A lot of short stuff that gets, you know, yards after the catch, yards after contact. Certainly, they're still one of the great shot teams in the league. Hell, Shanahan said they're the best shot team in the league, right? That's not, you know, Tucker Kraft's game. I do agree that the offense runs through Jacobs. I think the identity could become Tucker Kraft, you know, based off of his play. If he's able to hit the ground running the way, you know, and pick up where he left off, yeah, there's a possibility that's the case. But I think they're much more, to your point, they do run through Jacobs and everything works off of that, especially the shot play. You know, they are an explosive team and they want to push the ball down the field. And I don't think that's ever going to change as long as Matt's in town. Now, you might want him to do it a little bit more, but then you get into, oh yeah, like they did in Denver. It all fell apart. It's just food for thought there. Rick Harris, yes, sir. Just remember, rookies are usually bad. I mean, that's a very blunt way of putting it, but right. You don't want to count on rookie contributions to save your season or to come in and improve your team right away, and that is your only plan. Because more often than not, you're going to be let down. right? Now, doesn't mean they're going to be bad right out of the gate or even bad the whole season, but you definitely don't want to be counting on them, especially when you're the Packers and you've, you know, had a really nice run here of finding guys to build up your program. You were the youngest team in the league for 3 years. Those guys have started to mature and are starting to become your core on the roster. Now, yes, you want to augment, but yeah, your rookies, they're probably not A, going to get a ton of chances to play, especially early. Look no further than Matthew Golden. But yeah, they're going to swim a little bit. It's a big transition, no doubt about it. Now, sure, plenty of rookies get opportunities early in this league and go on to have really good rookie seasons, right? Oftentimes, that's because they get opportunities, because they're going to teams that need help immediately and they don't have the depth in place that Packers have in certain places. But I also, you know, point out that where the Packers talk about draft and develop, and that's where people kind of push back on this idea, well, they are a draft and develop team. Yeah, the emphasis being on develop. The way the Packers are going to be successful in 2026 is much more about the development of the 2025 draft class than it is the instant contributions from whoever they draft in 2026. We've seen that again and again. That is their MO. That's how they want to operate. Now, it doesn't mean that's always the case. Obviously, somewhat out of desperation, they turned to Anthony Belton last year. But to your point, he wasn't great. He had a pretty rough year, especially in pass pro. I think he helped solidify them physicality-wise in the run game, etc. But man, he was tough to watch at times in pass pro. And to your point, he's a rookie, you know, thrown into the fire. Now, that said, they were still a pretty effective offense with him in there, right? So yeah, that's why I say, like, it's hard to like make a blanket statement, but it's hard to count on rookies. That's for damn sure. Especially if you're trying to go win a championship. Again, that doesn't mean it's always that way, but especially in Green Bay, the way they operate, that is pretty true. Mike, how you doing, man? I agree with Nags that we could go heavy offense in this draft, running back, wide receiver, tight end, O-line, and I'm excited to see how angry that makes Packers fans post-draft. Mike, why you gotta rile people up? No, I'm kidding. You're not wrong. Yeah, if they did go that route, people would lose their minds. Running back early is the one spot where I might join them. You know, I'm fully prepared for them to take a running back in this draft. Hopefully that's on day three, later in day three. I'm not down with a day two running back pick. I got to be honest. In the year of our Lord 2026 in the National Football League, you don't need to be taking running backs on day two. That's just me. That's just how I roll. But, you know, Nagler's never right. So what are you going to do? All right, folks, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, especially because we're going to have a very special Packer Transplants Live next week. That's right. Wednesday, 22nd, day before the draft. Very special Packer Transplants Live with a very special guest. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. In the meantime, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.